Good morning and welcome to Apple a Day, Lake Region Healthcare's health and wellness program, where we give you news and information that you can use to live a healthier lifestyle. This is Katie Johnson, and joining me as my guest this morning is Dr. Angela Folstead. She is a pediatrician here at Lake Region Healthcare and is here to talk back to school health. Good morning, Dr. Folstead.
Hi, Katie. It's nice to be with you again.
It's always great to have you on the show. And when we think about back to school time, of course, we've just started August, but I think August triggers that thought in people's minds that back to school time will be here before we know it. And there are a lot of things to think about, really, from head to toe. So I thought we could play a little game of head and shoulders, knees and toes, and try and cover everything that head to toe kids and parents should be thinking about as they prepare for back to school time. So starting on the head, our eyes. At what age should eye exams start for kids, and how often are they needed?
That's a great question. We began looking at eyes and evaluating eyes in the newborn period, and that starts with making sure the retina is fine. Then later on, as a child becomes 2-4 months old, we start looking at how they track and things. The formal eye test began here in the office around 3 years of age with those standard Snellen charts where people have to identify the shapes and stuff like that. Yeah. And then it's about every 2 years after that. Okay. And this is just kind of a screening here. If there's ever any concerns, of course, we refer them on to optometrists or ophthalmologists.
Right. So when would it make the most sense for a child to move from just the if they're not being referred by you for any problems, to start going to the eye clinic to an actual optometrist or ophthalmologist?
Probably around 3 years of age, quite honestly. So, and again, 3 years is just kind of when we begin screening here. It really is child dependent and day dependent. So a lot of times, you know, if they're not cooperative here, we kind of struggle and there's some concerns, it's always a great idea to follow up with a specialist.
And with the eye clinic just right downstairs, that's nice and easy to do.
Absolutely. They're phenomenal with children.
So head and shoulders, going to the shoulders, that brings to my mind backpacks. Of course, they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and choosing the right one for a kid probably has more to do with what color and what brand it is, but we need to think about more than that, right? What are the backpack dangers and what should we be looking for?
I love backpacks. In fact, my husband gives me a hard time because I carry a backpack rather than a purse or messenger bag just because they're so darn handy. They keep me organized. That's a huge thing. If your child is required to bring pencils, pens, colored pencils, erasers, everything has its own compartment, so it's so easy to go through a checklist every morning to make sure they have all the all of their items with them. As far as the actual backpack is concerned, we definitely recommend a lightweight one because they will be putting so much cargo inside of it. Maybe some wider straps rather than narrow straps with pads, a padded back as well so that that does protect the back, not only from some of the stiff corners, but if they have any sharp objects in there as well. A waistband too, or a belt type buckle is also recommended. As far as the backpack is concerned, it should never be more than 10 to 15% of the child's weight. So kind of be a little bit judicious as far as what the child needs. Is it essential or is it just kind of something they want to take to school that day? Sometimes putting the heavier items towards the back and the lighter items towards kind of what would be the opening is a good idea. That will help reduce the stress. The worst thing you can do is put a lot of weight towards the back because that's going to cause an arch in the back and a lot of muscle strain. Also, of course, using the backpack correctly, using both straps rather than, quote, looking cool or being fast and just lopping it over one shoulder is recommended.
Very good point. So going to the knees, these bring to mind for me growing pains, the way that they sometimes keep kids awake at night. So I thought we could cover two topics here, both relief tips for growing pains and the importance of good sleep and what to do when things like that interrupt good sleep.
Growing pains, that's a great topic. We usually see it around two time periods in kids' lives, usually around 3 to 5 years of age, and then again 10 to 12 years of age. The pain is usually along the muscle belly itself, so in the quadriceps or thigh region, and then the calves, usually not in the joints. So if your child complains of joint pain, it's ever red or swollen, that is not growing pains and needs to be evaluated. If a child likes to be touched where the pain is, that usually is growing pain because if there is actual pathology there, they do not want to be touched or moved. So relieving factors would be ibuprofen or Tylenol, massage, and heat.
So to the sleep side of that question then, if it is interrupting sleep or other things are interrupting your child's sleep, that's really a crucial thing to pay attention to, particularly during the school year.
Oh, absolutely. Good, solid sleep is essential to be successful academically and athletically. So if sleep is disturbed by growing pains, something like massaging, a little heat to the area would be a good idea. Sometimes stretching as well for those darn Charlie horses that may wake you up is a good idea. But gosh, yeah, sleep. And sleep is so essential and so kind of take it for granted. Mm-hmm. And it is the last item of your day that is preserved. You know, once you get through the academic day, once you get through it, your athletic day, the family meal time, the homework, whatever you have left is then for sleep. Mm-hmm. And if you can just kind of preserve and kind of protect nine hours at least a night for sleep, the rest of your day will just be so much more satisfying.
It's truly a foundation, not only for school-age kids, from what I've learned, but throughout your life. So moving on to the toes, the health of our feet is often a reflection of the health of our whole body. So how important is it to start our kids with good foot care early in life? And when we're back to school shopping in particular, maybe some tips about picking out good shoes.
Yes, this is something I surely took for granted when I was a child. Shoes, unlike other items of clothing and protective wear, should not really be hand-me-downs. Sweaters, caps, socks, mittens, those are all kind of one-size-fits-all, but shoes are so specific and can get worn out easier than other things. Mm-hmm. Shoes are actually shock protectors and absorbers for the body, so even though the upper shoe may look like it's intact and somewhat new, if the sole is worn, it really isn't of great benefit for the child. Watch out, too, for those flip-flops. Although they're great for beaches and summertime and pools and things like that, you shouldn't really walk in them long term. They're not the greatest arch. They don't have the greatest arch support, and they don't have the best shock absorbing capacity.
So those are things to look for when picking out shoes: the arch support and just the overall shock absorption that it can give a kid. Putting on lots of steps through the hallways and through the active lifestyles that kids have these days.
Absolutely. And you should never have to break in a pair of shoes. They should always have some flexibility, especially where the ball of your foot is. The midsole should be a little bit stiffer, but if a child is kind of limping or there's rubbing in the shoe, that's going to be extraordinarily uncomfortable, lead to blisters, probably a change in the way you plant your foot, which will then result in ankle issues, knee and hip pain.
Well, finally, a true head-to-toe topic. We know lots of kids participate in sports, and we should mention the sports physical or the pre-participation exam. What's involved in a high-quality sports physical?
Sports physicals are very important and essential, and a lot of schools will require them before engaging in a new sport or before a new competitive season begins. The most important part of the sports physical is actually the medical history. So there is, most of the times, a form that the student or child should sit down with the parent prior to, because it's not only going to be about the child's history, but also the family history. It's essential to know about cardiac health, if there is any uncommon causes of death in the family, diabetes, asthma, as well as a child's health, such as previous concussions, fractures, because that will definitely not necessarily restrict the child from participating in a sport, but maybe change how they can reduce the likelihood of re-injury.
And a sports physical should not be confused with a well child visit. Though they can be combined, right?
Absolutely, they can be combined, but the focus is a little bit different. So if you want to combine them, that's fine. Just let us know, it's going to require a bit more time and be a bit more comprehensive. But the sports is definitely more geared to athletic, physical ability rather than lifestyle as far as sleep, tooth care, and things like that that we do in a comprehensive physical.
Well, this is all great advice, Dr. Folstead. Anything else you want to add as you're thinking about the kids out there getting ready for back to school this fall?
I know that Minnesota summers are absolutely priceless, and it's such a August is such a bittersweet month because it's still enjoyable, but you know that school's coming. So if you can just kind of embrace it enthusiastically, get yourself in the best physical, mental, emotional state, the school year will be so much more enjoyable and satisfying.
Such great advice, Dr. Angela Folstead, pediatrician at Lake Region Healthcare, helping us out with back-to-school tips for a healthy school year. We appreciate your time today, Dr. Folstead, so very much.
Thank you for letting me participate.
Dr. Angela Folstead and Katie Johnson on Apple a Day today, reminding you there is so much to do here. Stay healthy for it. Have a great day.